word of the Lord taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 11. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you very much for each one who has been involved in our service. And thank you to the worship team for our Christmas songs this morning. There was actually a little girl and a little boy who were singing their favorite Christmas carols, just like we sang this morning. And they sang the song Silent Night. And it came to the end of the song, Silent Night, and it ended off in Sleep in Heavenly Peace. But the boy had concluded that it wasn't Sleep in Heavenly Peace, it was Sleep in Heavenly Beans. No, the sister had objected and corrected. Not beans, but peas. Sleep in Heavenly Peas. That's a very interesting thought, sleeping in heavenly peas and beans. Well, good for them to think about their vegetables during Christmas time, but that is very interesting thought. Well, thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. I want you to imagine with me, you're about 5 or 6 years old, as some of you are, and you're with your mom shopping, doing some Christmas shopping, and you immediately enter the first mall, and you spot him there on a scarlet royal throne at the head of a long line of excited kids and exhausted parents sits the jolly old man in the red regal suit. His elves are rude, and they're grouchy, and they're running back and forth, but you don't notice. All you could think about is the magical man with a white beard. Nothing else matters but the dream that he will come down your chimney or through a door or window if you don't have a chimney and leave enough toys for you to last until the next Yuletide season. And so, with anticipation and expectancy, you wait in line with the other excited boys and girls, for today you're going to speak with that jolly, magical man of Christmas, everyone knows as Santa Claus. Even at this very moment, people are adoring the man called Santa. But I'd like to refocus our attention this morning. We just read about a few magi from the east, as they were called. They went to adore the baby Jesus. And they went to worship him. The term worship needs clarification this morning, as often the term is associated with music or music styles. Worship is defined as worthiness, respect, and reverence paid to a divine being. Well, kids, there's an easier definition of worship given by Oswald Chambers. He's the author of the classic book, My Utmost for His Highest. And he says this, you can see it right there. Worship is giving God the best he has given you. So if you play a sport, it's giving God worship and being a good representative of what he has given you, being a good athlete and doing the best that you can, and maintaining good sportsmanship, being even-tempered. If you play an instrument, I'm so thankful for those who are involved in our service, on our worship team, each and every week, the dedication, the early mornings. Thank you for giving God worship to the talent of your music. God has given us all abilities, capabilities. Some are gifted in hospitality, administration. Some have been given gifts that you can use for God's glory. I want to tell you about the former music pastor of the church I attended in Surrey. This guy is multi-talented, full of energy. He was the conductor of the senior choir, the adult ensemble, the youth ensemble, rhythm bands, and the sound department. He was a gifted, passionate singer, and he played the trombone, piano, drums, and other percussion instruments. He did many great things for God, as our worship pastor, Pastor Lee, has also done great things for God. The pastor I was talking about resigned, and he moved on to serve in one of the largest evangelical churches in BC, Northview in Abbotsford. We would often be praising him because of a job well done. He would often do Christmas productions and Easter productions, and we'd often be applauding him for his great work. And one time when we were applauding him, something stuck in my mind. He was sitting on the front row, and we as a congregation were applauding him. And what he did next stuck in my mind. So his back was towards the congregation, and he pointed up to God. To God be the glory is what he was doing. The music pastor was giving God the best God had given him. This is where I'm going this morning. Christmas moves us to a deeper, a stronger worship because of why Jesus Christ came. Sometimes when people worship God, they raise their hands in worship to God. Our hands says a lot about us. Sometimes if we're relaxed or if we're bored, we have our hands in our pockets like this. Sometimes if we're angry, maybe we have our hands crossed like this. Sometimes when people worship God in a worship service, they raise their hands up to God. And why not? Why not open up your life up to God? And this is a symbol of us opening our hands up to him in worship. Sometimes people open their hands in awe and wonder. Sarah and I went to Grand Canyon a few years ago, and it was so awesome to see God's creation. Some people raise their hands in awe and wonder of creation. And why not raise your hands and worship God in awe and wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ? Some people raise their hands. Maybe they're surrendering, and maybe they're surprised. Why not raise your hands in surrender to our Lord? I am surprised by his miraculous work in my life. Some people raise their hands in celebration. Maybe the Canucks score a goal, if they score a goal. Why not raise your hands in celebration to God in victory? Because we have the victory in Jesus. Come Easter morning, Jesus is not there. We have the victory in him. Some people raise their hands in support of someone, like a musician or a hip-hop artist. Why not raise your hands in support of our God and raise our hands in worship to acknowledge his presence in our lives? And sometimes people raise their hands as they hail someone. Why not raise your hands when you come to a worship service and hail our Lord and Savior? Well, it's easy for you to raise your hands in these things because you can see the Grand Canyon. You can see celebration. This is where our faith comes in. The Bible says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we hope for someone to come alongside of us to help us in times of need, to help us in times of trouble. God gave his son for us. We hope for this place called heaven we can go to afterwards, where there will be no more tears, No more pain. No more sorrow. That's what God has given us through his son, Jesus. We can have heaven. And that's our faith. Because of our faith, we can worship him with our hands as well. Numerous Bible verses indicate that we should raise our hands in worship. Psalms says quite simply, "So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands," in Psalm 63:4. Now think about the actions of the wise men. I can picture the scene vividly. After traveling a long distance, the Magi, who were Persian scholars, finally walked into the stable where baby Jesus was. And at the first sight of Jesus, what did they do? They bowed, right? Now, this is not just a quick bow or like an awkward bow, not like a quick thing, or maybe if kids are in a recital, like this, maybe they bow awkwardly. It wasn't just like a quick bow before Jesus. In the original Greek language, the word worship in our text is the word proskuneo. This means to fawn or crouch or prostrate oneself in homage. So when the Magi saw Jesus, they immediately prostrated themselves on the hay and on the straw in utter reverence and respect. The Magi proceeded to open their treasure boxes and place at the foot of the manger fine gifts of gold, perfume, and herbs. So the Magi not only worship with their hands, but they worship with their knees. Because of Christmas, we are moved to a deeper worship, reflecting Jesus came. And why did Jesus come? When Jesus came, he was not merely a man. Jesus was and is the Son of God. And Jesus came in a mission of love for you and for me. He came from the glories of heaven to the ugliness of this place we call earth. And he came for us, and he bore human pain. Sometimes in our staff meetings, we chuckle because some of these Christmas songs are not the way it probably wasn't. Silent Night may have not been that silent because he was a living, breathing, crying baby. Maybe if Jesus was asleep, he was silent, but it could have been a very loud night that night as he was a crying baby, as there were animals around. Kids, maybe it was like an old McDonald farm. And eventually, Jesus took on human pain. He did miracles because he was God, but he was also a man. And he carried his own cross when he went to Golgotha. And this is what I want you to remember. And I'm going to stand at the top of the steps here so that you can remember this. For those who are up in the far reaches of the balcony, for those who are on the stairs, I want you to remember this, that God loves you, that Jesus loves you so very much. John 3:16 says that God loved us, and we know the verse. Many of us know the verse, but it basically says that God loves us. God loves all the millions and billions of people in this world, in the past, in the present, in the future. God loved each one who was born and who is about to be born. God loved us that he gave. He gave of his one and only son. And I love these verses where it not only tells us what life is all about, but it instructs us. God loved us. He gave to us his one and only son, and so we ought to believe. And if we simply believe, then we can go to this place called heaven. You see, we were separated from God. God is full of love. God is holy, and yet we are not holy. We are sinful. So we're separated by God. And Jesus came as a bridge between us and God. And Jesus took all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of the crime in our world, the immorality, the marital infidelity. He took all of that so that we can be forgiven of our sin. And then we can have a new start in Him. And so now we can know God's love and God's peace. And if we simply invite Jesus into our lives and say, Lord, be my Lord and Savior of my life, then we can have this life worth living. We all go through times of stress, anxiety, depression, guilt. But with God in our lives and Jesus in our hearts, we can know God's peace. We can know how to live rightly. Wouldn't it be sad if this is all there was? I click on the television and I watch the news and I think, if this is all there was and is, this is a sad life. But I look forward to one day being in heaven with God. Because of Christmas and God's love, we have hope. Because of Christmas and God's love, we have assurance and security. Eternal security. So God's love today and this Christmas message prompts us to worship. Christmas and God's love prompts us to know Him more. Christmas and God's love prompts us to pray. Christmas and God's love prompts us to read His word. Christmas and God's love prompts us to come to church and be part of this church. Christmas and God's love prompts us to serve Him. Christmas and God's love prompts us to be baptized. Christmas and God's love prompts us to a deeper and a more sacrificial worship. I'd like to invite the kids forward now. Now is your time, kids, to come on the steps and join me. I'd like to talk to you, and there is candy involved, so come on up on the steps here, and I'd like to talk with you for a minute, and I'm going to end off our message. So come on, kids, kids in the back, kids on the balcony, and there may be candy involved. Don't be shy. As they're coming up, I'd like to share one of my favorite verses. So come over here, kids, and you can just sit on the stage or on the steps, but not too close to the fire. As they're coming up, I'd like to share one of my favorite verses. I think there's candy involved, Ate Maria. So go see Ate Maria. One of my favorite Christmas verses is Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So go ahead and hand out those candies. And each of you should have a candy cane by now. Okay. Do you all have a candy cane? Now, which of you has the biggest candy cane? Raise your candy canes in the air. Which of you has the biggest candy cane? I think I have the biggest candy cane. Now imagine if this was your favorite candy. Imagine if this was your favorite decadent chocolate bar. Imagine how many dentist appointments you'd have to go to after eating something like this. Now, boys and girls, did you know that the origin of the candy cane has Christian origins? So there was a candy maker in Indiana, and the original candy cane had four stripes on it. So this man from Indiana, he decided to make a symbol to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. And so first he decided to make in the shape of a staff, symbolizing the staff of God, who is our shepherd. Next, he chose to use a hard white candle as his base, symbolizing Jesus' pure birth. And thinking the candy was rather plain, he decided to add three small stripes and a fourth one. The three small red stripes resembled the scourging that Jesus had received during his crucifixion. And lastly, he added one broad stripe in the original candy cane that symbolized the blood that Jesus shed to ultimately give us eternal life. So today, kids, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Santa is good, but Jesus is the best. But don't get me wrong, I've written many letters to Santa. I've sat on Santa's lap. I've exchanged pleasantries with him. And I've taken a lot of pictures with Santa. But Jesus, I believe, is a little bit bigger than Santa. And if you turn your heads, let's learn a little bit about Jesus compared to Santa. So Santa lives at the North Pole, but Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh, but Jesus rides on the wind, and when he was on earth, he walked on the water. Santa comes but just once a year, but Jesus is an ever-present help. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs. Santa comes down your chimney. Jesus stands at the door of your hearts and he knocks. And then at your invitation, he comes into your lives, into your hearts. You have to stand in line to see Santa. But Jesus is as close to you as the mention of his name. Santa lets you sit on his lap. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa doesn't know your name without looking on his list, so it is said. But Jesus knew our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, he knows our history. He knows our future. He knows our likes and dislikes, and he loves you. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. Santa offers a ho, ho, ho. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. Santa says, you better not cry. Jesus says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes new life. He mends wounded hearts, doesn't he, kids? And he repairs broken homes and builds mansions in heaven. Santa may make you chuckle, but Jesus gives you joy that is your strength. Santa gives us a merry heart, full of laughter and glee. While Santa puts gifts under your tree, Jesus became our gift and died on the tree, then came back to life and is preparing a place in heaven for all who believe. So kids and adults, let us worship God this season of Christmas. Christmas is just 3 days away. Can you believe it? Christmas Eve is just 2 days away. But for the rest of our lives, may we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he gives us a life worth living, doesn't he? And because of his promises in his word, we can live a good life and a life that is in heaven one day. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us continue in worship as we sing joy to the world. Let us sing with jubilation as Pastor Lee comes forward. Thank you, Pastor Lee.